So hi everybody. I did this research as a graduate student at UC Davis, actually with the USDARS NCGR site out there. Now working in DC Metro at Northern Virginia Community College as a assistant professor running a small program in horticulture. So I'm now local. But so this is from my graduate thesis, which I completed in 2017. So this was done at this was funded by the NCGR. Program, so at the Davis site, which is the National Clonal Germplasm Repository for tree fruit, nut crops, and grapes. And I was just in tasked with studying the Prunus persica collection, so the National Peach and Nectarine Collection. And it was kind of a descriptive study, and then I had some hypotheses I wanted to explore from that. So that's what I'm going to present to you today, and they're not necessarily more than initial sort of results, so they're not completely sussed out. But so that's where this work was done in 2016. It was over 1 year, but there were some things. So it was an actual collection. So the experimental design's a little bit odd in that it's the actual national collection of Prunus persica. Ended up with 538 genotypes, each of which had at least two replicates, and I only studied two on them. So what I ended up doing is sort of a post-harvest side of it. Was my real replication was collecting 10 fruit and per replicate tree, and then using 5 of those fruit randomly selected for the chemical traits, and then another 5 for the physical traits, which I'm not going to talk about today at all. And then those mean values for those replicate trees of those averages were used for the study. It was a kind of unusual opportunity for the study because they repropagated their collection in 2013 and 2014, and so it was an even age bearing population of this incredible diversity of Prunus persica species. Everything was maintained to commercial standards. We did prune them with a slightly modified practice because it was at that age where they were coming into bearing but were not. So we ended up doing kind of a modified spindle system, but also did a number of things to deal with, crop load management. So we did aggressive thinning before 30 days after bloom, well before pit hardening. And so we pruned or thinned down to just one fruit per proleptic shoot, just to try to get like a standard for what the fruit could do. Studied a bunch of stuff, so I'm not going to talk about a lot of it today, but standard phenotyping procedures as established by Rosebreed, that project, which is some of the people I worked with on it. And so I'm mostly going to talk to you about fruit development period and then the 4 chemical traits and kind of the relationships between those two today. I want to tell you briefly, I used electronic data capture with Fieldbook app, which I want to promote. I have no involvement with them. I don't know them, but it was so helpful. And statistical analysis with R. Just to show you a little bit about some of the replications. So this is the composite juice sample from 5 fruit for each replicate tree from this huge collection of trees. So longitudinal section of each fruit and then homogenized to make a composite juice used for the chemical analysis. So Fieldbook app was extremely helpful, and all this stuff's going to end up on Grin Global eventually, but I recommend this application for using for field collection. You can use it for many, many things. And just to show you, can tag photos, timestamp the accession number based on your map that you've put in. Extremely useful. So if anyone wants to talk about that afterwards, I'd love to. What I won't really present to you is the amazing array of diversity that we have out here in the world, and you guys can explore that through any of our NCGR collections. So some of my favorites were Stanwick, which is a green flesh nectarine with one of the highest soluble solids concentration, like up to 20, and just kind of really unusual stuff. Some averages, related to what I wanted to present to you. So fruit maturity dates in California, in Davis, California, winters, there were ripe fruit from May to October. So within that, the fruit development period had as short of 67 days, which are some experimental varieties that ARS scientists had bred previously, and as long as 230 days, which were some heirloom varieties that ripened in October. So, and then the soluble solids concentration ranged from as low as 6.2, some of the wild germplasm, to as high as 20, and the mean was 13.4. Titratable acidity ranged from 0.14 to really high acid 2.1, extremely inedible. And then I did the ratios of those because I think that's useful. So huge range with that as well. And that's what I'm going to explore a little bit. So I wanted to present to you guys on the results from fruit development period. I didn't leave it in, but I studied fruit development period kind of a long time with one of my major professors around, you know, can we use this these raw, like, kind of numbers between full bloom and maturity date? And essentially there were bloom groups over a month, and there was almost no weather difference, so we don't think there was any environmental effect on the fruit development period. So I just used straight full bloom date, 80% bloom to harvest date, tree ripe. And so if you look at these are individual means of the genotypes. And you can see there's definitely a correlation with between fruit development period and soluble solids. And the literature kind of supports this, that early mature fruit tends to be less, you know, sweet. And then if you look at that with titratable acidity, there's not really any correlation, you know, between fruit development period and acidity. Same with soluble solids and titratable acidity ratio. Kind of does this weird thing, and I was fascinated by that, which I'll explore in the next couple minutes. But no correlation. So there was an increase in soluble solids over longer on the tree, you know, genotypes. But other than that, nothing else seemed to change. If I broke it out by origin, because it's the National Germplasm Collection, we have passport data on where they came from. So they're organized by, you know, Asian progeny or genotypes, breeder developed, like kind of recent research developed bred varieties, kind of Western heirlooms. It's, you know, the NCGR, there's sort of heirloom old varieties from, and then wild collected germplasm. Interestingly, the same trend was visible, so fruit development period correlated to an increased soluble solids in all the origin types except for the wild collected, where there was no correlation. If you look at the titratable acidity, there wasn't a correlation between fruit development period and acidity in all of the origin types except the wild type, which had a fairly notable correlation towards being more acidic as the genotype was on the tree. If you look at the ratios, same thing. So we can find out that acidity is really affecting those ratios. That's the factor that's causing the different ratios. No correlation between all the origin types except for wild type, where there's a negative correlation to the soluble solids acidity ratios with fruit development period. So that was interesting to me, and I wanted to develop a little bit more into that realm around acidity. So taking the groups out by acid type, which, you know, the standard is 0.5 mil equivalents per liter, is above that is an acid type peach or nectarine, below that is subacid or low acid, and then there's kind of realms within that. So if you break it apart, there's still the same trends, increased sugars over fruit development period increase, and then no trends, obviously, still with acidity ratios. There's the same thing with the titratable acidity over fruit development period. But if you kind of just block them together, you can see that really the increased soluble solid test titratable acidity ratios are pretty much attributable to the subacid type. And the mean acidity for all, or the mean ratio for the entire group was 26.9. And you can kind of see that the subacid fruit are above that, and the acid type Prunus persica are below that line. But what does that mean? Well, basically, that I think the idea is that if you look at the density plot, you can see that the higher. So going back, I wanted to kind of dwell on, well, why? What is this shape of the scatter plot kind of indicating? So basically, the subacid type fruit are kind of solely responsible for these high sugar acid ratio crops, as related to not necessarily fruit development period in this case, but this is just showing the density plot. So just overall, those are the ones responsible for these really high sugar acid ratios. Didn't say that, but sugar acid ratio is really kind of often the effect of taste that you'll feel. So an extremely sweet fruit with a high acidity doesn't taste as sweet with one that has a, you know, the ratio itself should be higher for more sweet effect. And then if you look at this, kind of going back to just the density plot for titratable acidity, you can kind of see that there's this breakout with so this is what's causing those ratios. This is just titratable acidity, And the interesting thing is, I was going to work with Rosebreed on this. It didn't kind of come together because of as a master's student, but they have a lot of work published around the different markers that they've published for acidity in peach. So being able to test them now, you can send in your stuff and get tested. And there's the G flav locus and the D locus, and it creates these two loci create both a low acid and a super low acid or very low acid effect. And you can kind of see it right in this array of genotypes with the density plot. And so the conclusions are kind of that, you know, if we look at overall, there's an increase in from longer fruit development periods for higher soluble solids concentration. There's the different issues with wild type, like that I think is interesting. And then also if you break it up by acid type, the sub-acid types show kind of more responsibility for that increase in titratable acidity soluble solids ratios. And so overall, you know, this wasn't the core part of the experimental design. Most of the research was just to compile every aspect of all these fruit quality traits, which are going to be published on Green Global. But I think that, you know, the experimental design needs to be changed, but I think there's something really interesting here around fruit development period and its effect on soluble solids and soluble solid titratability ratios. And then if you look in the two main groups that I think are interesting, it's the wild type effect, which seemed to have more of an acidity over fruit development period, and then the subacid types. So I was really worried I was going to go too long, so I tried to speed through it. I want to thank the people that I worked with at UC Davis, the USDARS, and also Ksenia Gasek at Clemson, who is part of the Rosebreed group. And these results are going to be published on Green Global, so the National Prunus Persica collection is going to have kind of all the data, including all the photographs I took of every one of these accessions, published at some point in the next couple years. So you guys can all use it. And then, of course, you know, NCGR, you can request material and propagate it and breed it and do whatever else you might want with it.
Any questions from the audience?
Yeah. I did do firmness, yeah, but I just had a handheld firmness meter, and so that will be on there. And I actually looked at firmness as it related to these issues, and there was not really an effect in terms of I was harvesting the fruit. And I even used a DA meter for ripening as well to kind of true in. But I didn't use a more complicated firmness meter. But there will be some firmness data.
Any more questions? Lena?
How about individual sugars?
How what?
Individual sugars.
I didn't analyze those. I didn't have time. It was too many things to work in for a master's thesis. But that would be really interesting, you know.
Yes.
Do you expect that the maturity date would be different in relation to temperature when you did this versus the native
land? Well, so for wild type?
Yeah.
So his question is maturity date going to be different based on where these accessions are from, like if they're a wild type? I mean, the temperature, like as far as the work that I've studied with, the person I worked under, the overarching theory, the dates are going to be different in different places, but that the fruit development period is probably going to be somewhat constant. It's not going to necessarily be the same date. So if you have a later bloom time, you know, you might just have crops that don't ripen. And then additionally, that really it's more the temperature effect on 30 days after bloom that affects maturity date. So Ted DeYoung is on my committee, and he has many papers on that.